Hey, it's Cappy, and this is Beyond the Plate, Heard, the audio newsletter where I share what's on my plate, literally and figuratively. From culinary insights to restaurants and recipes, it's everything I'm seeing, tasting, and talking about in just a few minutes. This isn't a peer-reviewed culinary journal. It's just my take on what I'm into at the moment. So let's dive in, and I hope you all take something from my plate. All right, first up is not really one restaurant, but it's more the support of many. And normally I tell you about a restaurant that I've been to or want to check out or one that's been recommended to me. But with the holidays coming up, I'm taking a slightly different route here because someone recently asked me for a restaurant recommendation because they were giving a gift certificate to someone. And it hit me that this is such a great idea that I rarely think to do. So whether this is a gift for a friend, someone in your family, your child's teacher, a gift exchange, grab a gift card to one of your favorite local spots that you think they may enjoy too. Could be a nice restaurant for a full-on dinner, but also a great local coffee shop or even a bakery. It's a very thoughtful gift and supports the restaurant industry, and it winds up being delicious. Next up is the Vitamix Handheld Immersion Blender, and more importantly, its attachments. If you're not familiar, an immersion blender is basically one of those handheld blenders. It has blades at the end that let you blend soup and sauces and smoothies, anything you need to puree, right in the pot or cup you're using. I'm going to be very honest, I was never a big stick blender guy. We called them stick blenders or boat motors in culinary school and some restaurants I worked in. And I've always really leaned on my classic Vitamix countertop blender, which I think is like the top two appliances everyone must have in their kitchen. And it's still a go-to for me. But I recently got the handheld version and didn't think I'd use it that much until I did. And now I kind of love it. But the real game changer for me are the attachments. There is a whisk attachment that my daughter and I recently used to whisk pie filling. And we made whipped cream. I forgot about that. And it has this mini chopper attachment that kind of hits the sweet spot size-wise between a full food processor bowl and one of those tiny mini food processors that never really hold enough of anything. So this is really actually compact. It's powerful. It's easy to grab from the cabinet. Doesn't take up a lot of room at all. Great for grinding nuts, making breadcrumbs, and probably a bunch of other things that I haven't even thought of yet, but I'm really excited to use it more. Great gift, too. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. Next is usually a recipe that I recently made or want to try, but this one's a little different today. It's part recipe, part product, and it's all about pressure cookers. Stay with me here. Do not tune out if you are not a fan or if you don't think you're a fan. If you're not familiar with a pressure cooker, it's really just a sealed pot that builds a ton of steam and pressure to raise the boiling point of the liquid that's inside of it. That means food cooks way faster, like 70% faster, while it locks in all the moisture and flavor of whatever it is you're cooking. There are stovetop versions and electric versions, like the Instant Pot, which is what I recently got. Mine has 900 other functions, but I really only plan to use that pressure cooker button. I've always known about pressure cookers, but never really felt the urge to get one until a colleague recently talked me into trying it for making turkey stock. Thank you, Emily. It didn't really take much convincing, to be honest, but she had also mentioned there's this chef we both know and trust that had recommended it to her. Anyhow, I got the 8-quart size Instant Pot. I thought more room and bigger would be better. I love it. And I made a big batch of turkey stock for Thanksgiving, and it was delicious, really flavorful. I used it for the stuffing, and I used it for our gravy. But what really got me were those little bits of meat from the bones that were so tender and good. Now, flash forward, I made another batch using leftover bones, a turkey thigh, leg, and some wings we had. I pulled that meat off the bone, crisped it up in a cast iron skillet, and made turkey carnitas for dinner the other night. So good. I'm actually looking forward to trying other things in the pressure cooker because another colleague shared that she uses her pressure cooker a few times a week to make beans. Her husband's Brazilian, and she adds a whole beet to the pot, which Not sure if that's a Brazilian wives' tale or what, but I'll take it. So thank you, Michaela. If you are on the fence about pressure cookers, consider this your gentle push over the fence. Also, if you have a go-to pressure cooker recipe, please let me know. And of course, I'll share the link to the pressure cooker that I got in the show notes. And next is a social impact takeaway from a recent Beyond the Drink episode with Alexis Soler, a bartender in Nashville. This one's more of a mindset than a specific project, but it really stuck with me since we've recorded it. So one of my favorite parts of doing Beyond the Plate and Beyond the Drink is hearing how chefs and bartenders and restaurateurs give back to their communities. They all do it differently, and the industry is incredibly generous. But Alexis brought this unique perspective that felt pretty simple yet powerful at the same time. She talked about her back bar, and the back bar is what we as guests see when we sit down at a bar, which is what is behind the bartender, all their bottles. And she said she wants those bottles and those brands to reflect and align with her values. And she was encouraging others to think about the same, to choose brands that support causes that you believe in and that are doing good work beyond the product itself. And that made me think, not just for people in the industry, but also for all of us at home, the brands we keep in our kitchens say something too. It's kind of a reminder that even our everyday brand choices can reflect what matters to us. It's a small shift, but one that can make a difference. Next up is knives. I get asked pretty regularly for kitchen product recommendations. If you're a regular listener, you heard me mention the other week about the importance of having sharp knives. And since that little call out, a few people have reached out asking what knives I use or would suggest. So I thought I'd just share part of an actual text thread I had with my friend Mike in Minnesota, because maybe we'll help you too, or if you're looking for a gift for someone or want a gift yourself. So I told Mike I use a few different brands, but the ones I personally reach for most are the brand Mac, M-A-C. I personally like their professional series. Some of the big name brands like Wusthof and Henkel also make great knives, but the thing is they have so many different lines that it can get overwhelming. Honestly, most brands do have many lines. And I shared two main things with him to keep in mind. Number one, try to go to a kitchen cutlery shop in your town or city where you can actually hold the knives. They all feel a little different in your hand, and it can make a huge difference. I remember being in culinary school. On the weekends, we would go to the local knife shop and hold all the different knives because some are more comfortable for you and some are more comfortable for someone else. Number two, unless you know you're going to use every single knife in a set, don't buy a whole set. You're really better off investing in a few great individual knives rather than buying a big block that just sits on your counter and takes up space. The ones I use most and the ones that I recommend are one, a chef's knife. I like 7 or 8 inches big. Number two, I call it a utility knife, which is usually around 6 inches. And number three, a paring knife, which come in different sizes, 3 inches, 4 inches, and so on. You can add a serrated knife and a slicing knife if you want, but those don't need to be anything fancy or name brand, in my opinion. Unless you're breaking down fish or whole animals, you probably don't need a boning knife or a fillet knife either. Knives are one of those tools that make a huge difference in how enjoyable cooking can be. So I feel it's worth putting a little thought into. As always, you can find the links and handles that I mention in the show notes. Next up is Chef Joel Gamaran and the online platform he started called Homemade. Joel's one of those people you meet and just instantly know he's really good at what he does. I met Joel earlier this year when he was emceeing the ReFed Food Waste Solution Summit in Seattle. And let me tell you, he's a great communicator. You can tell right away he has a real passion for connecting with people around food. Anyhow, Joel spent many years as the national chef for Sur La Table, teaching cooking classes and helping people in the kitchen. So needless to say, he knows how to cook and teach. Now he's the founder and CEO of Homemade, which is an online cooking class community that offers live stream cooking classes for home cooks. So whether you're new in the kitchen or looking to hone some of your skills, it's a pretty cool platform. And I'm certain with Joel's energy and knowledge and way of making things feel approachable, it will resonate with you too. And I believe they have some other teachers and cooks on there as well. And oh yeah, about that ReFed Summit, Summit, it's coming up again in 2026. So if you're curious about food waste or how to be part of the solution, you should definitely check that out. And we will include all the links and handles in the show notes. One last thing before I leave you, a very important note about frozen candy bars. First, so this all started on Thanksgiving when a relative asked my daughter if she'd ever tried frozen Milky Way. A few minutes later, my daughter turned to me and goes, "Daddy, do we still have those mini Charleston chews in the garage freezer?" I remembered when I was a kid, my friend Kevin and I used to hide Score candy bars in the freezer at Walgreens, S-K-O-R, if you remember. Like, we would actually hide them behind other things in the freezer, so when we would ride our bikes up to Walgreens, we could come back and grab them later. Fast forward to the next week after Thanksgiving, my daughter brings a giant ice pack in her lunchbox just to keep one of those mini Charleston and chews cold until lunch. Gotta love her. So consider this your friendly reminder to toss a candy bar in the freezer. Thanks for listening to Herd, a production of Beyond the Plate. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. And if you like this, then tap the follow button and tune in for more Herd, where I share what I'm seeing, tasting, and loving lately in food and hospitality. And if your friends and family may enjoy it, I hope you'll share it with them. Until next time.